This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today. I love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. And, you know, it's very important for us to discuss those issues because we're always looking for what it is that the Lord is saying to us in the midst of the circumstances and situations of our lives, right? And our personal lives, of course, but also our corporate life together as the mystical body of Christ in the world today. And as it is that we are corporately joined together too, as citizens of the country in which we inhabit, and as a global community of worshipers of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So we love to come together and do such things on these days. And so I am inviting you to give us a call right here at Women of Grace Live. Let me give you that toll-free number. It is here for you. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. As always, we're at the ready to hear from you. Ryan Penny is our call screener. We have Jeff Burson. He is our producer, but also our social media maven. And he'll just dash right out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and he'll retrieve the questions and comments that you leave for us there under the chat feature. So we invite you to do that too. If you are out there in social media land today on either of those two opportunities for you there, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or the Facebook page, I'm waving at you right now, saying good morning to you and praying that your day already has been filled with the blessings of God. Well, I know it has been. Are we there ready to receive them? That's always the question that we have to ask ourselves. I want to let you know about some of the things happening here at Women of Grace, all kinds of good things coming your way. We are always about something. And I think that's a good thing. In that way, we kind of imitate God, who is pure act, right? We want to always be in the midst of something. And of course, first and foremost is always prayer. So I do want to let you know that we do have on Wednesday afternoons at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, we have our Rosary Crusade. We invite you to join us for that. It's a beautiful opportunity to come together and to pray the Rosary. There is something very powerful when we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and we pray. And what is it? It's its very presence. He tells us that he's there in our midst when we come together and we pray in his name. So we do that every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. through this Rosary. We also know that the Rosary is our weapon for spiritual warfare. Amen. Do I hear an amen out there? I certainly hope so. It is our spiritual weapon. And so praying the Rosary together, I think, is particularly efficacious. Not to say that we ought not to pray the Rosary individually. We should. I love my time with the Rosary every day, and I'm sure that you do too. But to come together corporately also is a very important way in which we demonstrate our hope in God, and we actually pull down that hope for the world through our prayer. Yep, that's exactly what takes place and exactly what happens. So we want to remind you of that. But in addition to all of those other very good things that are coming up for you every week through Women of Grace, we've got special events too. And we have one of those coming up very, very soon. I am truly encouraging you to join us for this special event. And what is it? It is a book study. We're using Mike Aquilina's book on St. Joseph. It's a beautiful, beautiful book, and it's St. Joseph and His World. Sue Brinkman will be leading everybody through this book study. It begins on May the 3rd, and it starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It's just an hour, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to run from May 3rd, which of course is a Monday night, all the way through June, I think it's 21st, which is also a Monday evening. Now, if you feel like you can't commit to all of those Monday nights, well, that's okay, because you will have a playback link and you'll be able to watch at your leisure that which it is that you've missed. So it's a wonderful way for you to enter more deeply into your study of the faith. And I think that this is a beautiful opportunity, having read Mike's book and having attended, obviously, the webinar that we did with him, you know, we actually have the insights of history to help us understand that time in which St. Joseph lived. Not only does this give us perspective on the saint, but it gives us perspective on the Holy Family as well. And some of the facts, some of the insights that are in this book, we were going to be looking at in great detail. And I'll tell you, they will enhance your life of faith. They certainly will. And it will enrich your appreciation for St. Joseph and for the Holy Family. So I certainly am asking you to consider attending this book study. We do have a responsibility to grow in our faith. You know, sometimes we get the mistaken notion that after we graduate 12 years of education or even get an advanced degree at a university that has something to do with our faith, that we're done. No, that is not the case. Far less are we done if we feel as though we've graduated from the need to study the faith once we receive the sacrament of confirmation. No, we are meant to always be learning more about the faith. The mysteries of the faith are inexhaustible. And the more that we can derive from the great teachings of other people to understand them and help us to enter them more deeply, to that extent are we the great beneficiaries. So we have a personal obligation and duty to ourselves, but also to God, to be on this constant quest for knowing more of him. And I do hope that you have an insatiable appetite for knowing more about God. He wants you to know him, right? We can't contain all of it in our minds. They're just way too little. We can't even contain it within our souls, even though they have an immortal quality. They too have a type of finite dimension. There's only so much that they can absorb in a given moment. That's why we have all eternity, and we'll never exhaust the manifest glory and wonder of God, even in eternity, but it'll be a constant diving in. To the extent that we're able to gain, an ever-deepening wisdom that comes by way of God, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to that extent, then, are we aided in this life? We begin to gain this supernatural perspective that helps for us to see all things through the eyes of God. And that is what we should be about. So, you know, is all of that going to be accomplished in this book study? Of course not. But is it going to take you inches closer, maybe even a foot closer, you know, maybe even a yard closer? I don't know. I'm hoping so. To the extent that we make ourselves available, to the extent that we make ourselves receptive, to the extent then do we receive these wonderful blessings of God that come to us by way of great wisdom. So join us beginning May the 3rd, Monday evening, 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for our book study, St. Joseph in His World is the Book, written by my dear friend Mike Aquilina, your friend too. So we hope that you will join us. It's 8 weeks, Monday evenings, online instruction and discussion. You'll get your discussion questions in the email that you'll receive from us. All kinds of beautiful things I know will happen through this book study. So you can register right online, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it advertised in our slideshow, but you'll also see it listed underneath our events there on the homepage. Both of those will take you to the landing page inviting you to sign up. I have a scripture passage for you. I do. I believe it's one that the Lord gave to me today to share with you. So stay tuned. There is a word of the Lord coming your way as soon as we come back from our break. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone, give us a call. Ryan Penny's eager to hear from you. And we also are inviting you to get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Leave your comment in the chat feature. Jeff Person will grab it. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm so happy to be with you here today, and I hope that you're happy to be with us, too. Looking forward to hearing from you. Our phone lines are lighting up. We've got three lines available right now, so you might as well call in. Grab them while you can. And we've got three people holding, and we're going to get to all of you in just a moment. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us via telephone today. Ryan Ryan Penny on the phone. As I mentioned earlier, Jeff Burson, our producer and our social media guy, will go out there and get your comments that you leave for us there in the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. But before I get to everybody, and I'm going to get to Christine in just a second, so hang on there, Christine, for me. You know, I did share with you prior to the break that I had a word for you from Sacred Scripture today. And every once in a while, I like to do something that I don't disrespectfully call Bible bingo. You know, I like to open the Bible and see what verse the Lord might have in mind for me to see at that moment. It's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. And the Lord does things like that. And when I saw this one, I knew it was for you as well as it was for me. And here it is. And it comes to us from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I, you know, I love this because oftentimes, you know, I don't know, maybe I have a preferential, you know, bit of my heart that aims towards the New Testament, but there is so much wisdom in the Old Testament, and we ought to always look at the Old Testament too, which should be seen through the light of the New Testament, as Scripture scholars tell us, and vice versa. The New Testament ought to be seen through the light of the Old Testament. But here we go, and this is in 1 Chronicles 16, chapter 16, and you should mark this down, I think. Because I think it's something that you can return to very, very frequently and gain great jubilation of heart and be lifted out of any kind of morass that you might be in, you know, some kind of interior stew, maybe even a type of depression. And this is what we read. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell all of his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works that he has done, the wonders he wrought, the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed as a statute to Jacob, as an everlasting covenant to Israel, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. Isn't that beautiful? And then it goes on. And there's much, much more to read here. But let me just say this. Here at verse 23, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And he is to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Isn't that lovely? And there's more and more in this beautiful, beautiful chapter from 1 Chronicles. And I'm urging you to go out and read it. And this is one that you should earmark in your Bible, put a bookmark in there, highlight it, put stars around it, all of those kinds of things. Because when you are in a state of despair, when you are nearing a great discouragement of heart, when nothing seems to make sense, we have to reorient our gaze and we reorient it to the Lord. This is what St. Paul means when he talks about renewing the mind, you know, to be transformed by the word of God, to not become conformed to the world, but rather to be transformed by the word of God so that we might know what is true, what is good, what is holy. It says in sacred scripture, to know what is the Lord's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. We must fill our minds with the good things of God. Then, you know, we are buoyed up. We're ready to go out there. We're ready to be those more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're ready to take on everything that the world is dishing out to us today. And we have the eyes to be able to see the logic of God in the midst of it all. And that's what we want. That's what we want. And it begins with praise of the Lord that lifts us out of our human condition and begins to cause the ability within our souls to perceive the things of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and hallelujah. That's 1 Corinthians 16. And I just want to tell you, I'm thinking some of you really needed to hear that word today. I needed to hear that word today. I'm inviting you to call us and tell us if that word's affected you at all. For now, however, we're off to Christine. You can call us 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. Good morning to you, Christine, and welcome, welcome. You're listening to us via Guadalupe Radio, and you are a first-time caller. Thank you for calling. How are you?
Yes. Hi, I'm fine. I'm good, thank you. I have a question. For us as Catholics, is cosmetic surgery mortal sin if it's, like, elective? Because what I'm referring to is I've had C-sections. And six of them. And, you know, they stretch the skin beyond repair.
Yes.
And I want to be able to fix, you know, that hanging skin.
So you're asking, so is it a mortal sin to take care of this or any other cosmetic need through plastic surgery, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the answer is this. Holy Mother Church has never pronounced against plastic surgery. And we know that many plastic surgeons dedicate the entirety of their skill and career to helping individuals that are born with birth defects or have scarring issues from tragedies that they've experienced to gain a more appropriate appearance in the sense of acceptability by the culture. Is that sinful? Absolutely not. And I consider that to be a work of charity. I remember years ago, a plastic surgeon was helping a young girl who had come into this country. A gas oven had blown up in her face. Well, you can well imagine what that did to this child. And it was just a great difficulty for her, obviously affecting the way in which she perceived herself and the way in which she was influenced by the effects of other people's sometimes disregard for her and outright meanness towards her. And so he brought her to this country and he worked on her to help her gain a more normal countenance. Was that a sin? Absolutely not. That was an act of charity and really, in a certain sense, a great act of humility for this young girl. Now, when we talk about plastic surgery for cosmetic purposes, do I think that that's sinful? No, the church does not say that it's sinful. When does it become sinful? It becomes sinful when we become obsessed by the idea of it and by the execution of it. And many people can become addicted to plastic surgery. They notice every perfection about their being. In some cases, this is something that arises out of a condition called obsessive compulsive disorder, but it can really arise out of the sin of vanity. Right? So we want to safeguard against that. We don't want to allow ourselves to become immersed in a vain quest for the beauty that the culture says we should have. We want to be who we are in Christ Jesus. So, if you want to consult a moral theologian to give you a deeper answer on this, I would suggest that you can do that. But would it be a mortal sin for you to take care of this, hanging skin that's come by way of your generosity in giving life to so many children? And I do not believe that that would be a mortal sin or even a venial sin. And if I'm speaking out of school and there's a moral theologian listening today, please call in and let me know. I have asked moral theologians this question in the past, however, because I do get this question asked of me. And none of them have ever said that it's a mortal sin. It can become a mortal sin if we allow ourselves to fall into vanity, which might start off as a venial sin, but can end up as a mortal sin if we allow ourselves to take that to that point of gravity. Does that help you, Christine?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear. Thank you, and God bless you.
You too.
Bye-bye now. We've got Mike with us. He's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening to us via the EWTN app today. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Very good, John. And it's so good to talk to you.
Thanks.
I've spoken to you over the years. I love it when you and your husband are on the air together. I find it so funny. You guys are really cute together at the time, but I hear you on the radio.
Thank you.
I have a question today. You're welcome. I have a prayer request today for my former employer. I won't mention the name, but I worked in a high school for over 20 years. Actually, 20 years. And I taught the Catholic faith, and I think I taught to the best of my ability. One of the things I tried to do was to go to receive the Eucharist every day before I taught, because I thought it was just so important to do. So I did that, and I guess it was about a year ago, it was last May, I was told that my job was going to be taken from me. They were, because of what they were doing was they were removing my position from the department. They were, because there was a drop in enrollment related to COVID. And I was told that if something changed, they would reach out to me. They would basically have me come back and teach again. A few days ago, I spotted online an opening for a position at the high school in theology. And before I left, I said, I just want to make sure that it has nothing to do with the way I'm teaching or whatever. And I was reassured that no, it was simply a drop of enrollment. And now I find out that what they're doing is they're hiring another person. They've never contacted me. I contacted the school and asked them, and never received any kind of callback. Same people are in positions of authority. So basically, I was lied to. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I want to do? At this point in my life, I do not want to have a lawsuit. I do not want to try to correct the injustice, because I feel like the Lord has a plan here and he's working through this. And if people tend to treat you unfairly, I think what we need to do is to pray for them in this particular case. So I would ask you, as a sister in the Lord, and as I consider to be a very gifted speaker and a person who really loves the Lord, can we pray for them together?
Sure,
would you pray
absolutely.
For them for me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And Mike, let me just ask you this question. I mean, are you still at an age where you want to seek employment?
Well, I would love to be able to teach the faith again.
Okay.
But one of the things I found out, if I go to another institution, again, I'm in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, they'll start me at a first-year teacher's salary, which would be a tremendous reduction from what I was getting after 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's a question of, I'd have
viability.
To start over again
mm-hmm.
as I was. And that to me just doesn't seem fair for the limited amount of years and for all I've acquired by way of knowledge, So,
yes.
I mean, I'll look for other avenues to try to share the faith, but I don't think God wants me to go back like that, especially
yeah.
for a limited time. And,
right.
I have five kids, I can't just do that. So would you pray
my goodness.
For me?
Sure, absolutely. Well, Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we raise Mike up to you, and along with Mike, we raise up his former employers. Father God, when injustice is done, there's many avenues that we can take to try to correct the injustice, but Mike has chosen the choicest path. That choicest path is praying for those who have unjustly treated him, praying for those who were not honest with him and were not truthful. Father God, we ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, these individuals would be convicted of the wrong that they have done. If without that conviction, Lord, they'll never repent. And we want for them to repent because we do not want their souls to be lost, Lord. And we do not want for them to continue to walk in ways that do not demonstrate the great faith that you are offering them and the great trust in you that you are also offering them. And so, Father, it is that we do pray for them. We pray, Lord God, that they would be awakened to the injustice that they have perpetrated. We ask that they would be awakened, Lord God, to uncharitable way in which they treated their fellow brother. We ask, Father, that they would see very specifically the ways in which this has affected Mike, and they would see and they would seek some type of obviously repentance, but also that they would try to make retribution for this, that there would be some way in which they would seek to make up the loss that has been experienced by Mike. And here I'm not necessarily referring, Father, to the monetary loss that they might not be capable of making up. But what they can do is make up for the betrayal, for the rejection, for the disappointment, for the pain of heart that Mike has experienced. Father, we ask that you would look mercifully upon them, but in your mercy, bring them to this knowledge of truth, that they might experience your profound love for them and begin to amend their ways and amend their path. Father, now we lift Mike up to you, your son. His plight is a great one, Lord. He has five children. You are aware of that. And we know that you never permit something to happen to us for which you are not going to work a greater good. And we know that there is a greater good coming for Mike. And I pray, Father God, that this greater good would manifest itself soon, that he would not be held in a, you know, in a state of a stasis for very long, but that there would be movement forward for him. I pray, Father God, that this path that you're opening up to him would reveal itself soon, and that this position would be one that is more fulfilling. This position would be one that would care for him and his family to a greater degree, that he would see in this that your generosity cannot be exhausted by the unfair ways in which man treat each other, but rather that you use that unfairness as a way to show your abundance of generosity towards us. We remember Job, who lost everything, Lord, and when he was restored, he wasn't restored to the position that he had occupied prior to, but that he was restored to more than that position had been. And this is what we're praying for Mike as he beautifully handles this situation and this disappointment with the grace of praying for his fellow man. And so it is, Father, that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, through the merits of his cross, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. And Mike, as I was closing up this prayer, I had a very strong sense that Saint Joseph would like for you to ask for his aid, that he would like to be your special intercessor for this. And I just feel very, very strongly that he wants to be involved. And so maybe already you have a deep devotion to him, this being the year of St. Joseph. I think that obviously he is in the crosshairs of our hearts, right? But he's asking that you involve him in a very special way. I think that he wants to work with you, and I think that he really wants to seek out this position for you. So, St. Joseph, we do take you up on this beautiful paternal outreach that you are expressing toward your son. And we ask that you would work with Mike and that you would be the provider for him, just as you were the provider for the Holy Family. And we thank you in advance, St. Joseph, for what you are about. Thank you, Jesus. Mike, you hear that music. We've got to go to a quick break. I think things are going to break open for you, though, very soon. So we thank and praise God for all of that. Thank you for letting us pray with you. Friends, we're coming right back. 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today, as always. Inviting you to give us a call. We've got one line left open. I think it has your name on it, or it can if you call in. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Social media also available for you there. Jeff Burson, our producer and social media guy, will dash right on out there and he will retrieve your question or your comment. We just heard from Mike. We are praying for Mike and his situation and for those individuals that he asked us to pray for, his employers who did not speak truth to him. And we are also asking St. Joseph to provide for him. Had a really strong sense of that, Mike. So I hope that you do take that to heart. Let's get to Tara. She's out there in West Bend, Wisconsin via Facebook. Hi, Tara. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm dandy. Thank you for asking.
I just wanted to thank you all for praying for me for my hysterectomy. I'm doing very, very well. God has put in my heart that the surgery went well and he was there for me and it went well. I'm just amazed at what he did to me. It was joy. I mean, I couldn't believe it. The surgery that I had. That it would go wrong, but it went well.
Good. Well, that's delightful news to hear, and we're so grateful that we had that opportunity to pray with you and to pray for you, and that all has turned out so beautifully. And sometimes, you know, in this these moments when we are offered a portion of the cross, you know, God is actually drawing us nearer. I was reading something just yesterday that was making that very point, and it comes from this little pamphlet, and I want to share this title with you. Did I bring it in here? I might not have brought it in with me this morning. Oh, no, I do have it. Oh, it was covered up by another book. It's Friends of the Cross, and it's written by St. Louis Grignon de Montfort. And I don't know where it's available for you, but I think you could probably find it online. It's just it's a small book, but it is chock full of tremendous wisdom and tremendous insight. And in there, he was talking about how it is that when we're offered a portion of the cross of our Lord, we can appropriate that portion of the cross for great good. And, you know, he has a way of phrasing things that are quite remarkable. And as you're talking with us about him being our Lord, being so present to you during the surgery, it reminds me that when we embrace the cross he's offering to us, then new vistas of insight, new understandings, not necessarily comprehensions, but understandings of the soul break open for us in the midst of the suffering. And so, you know, we ought to take this and we ought to allow ourselves to enter into this cross and find there what it is that God would have us see. You know, it's a beautiful thing, that God desires that we realize in the midst of suffering. We in our church are so blessed because we have a whole theology of suffering, one that helps for us to understand that we are suffering in union with Christ, and oftentimes it's Christ suffering in us for the sake of his body, the church. Colossians 1:24 gives us some insight into that. Let me read this. This is from the Friends of the Cross. And hopefully, friends, this is going to speak to you today too. It's in paragraph 18, if you should purchase this little booklet. It says, "Let him take up his cross, the one that is his. Let this man or this woman, rarely to be found and worth more than the entire world, take up with joy, fervently clasp in his arms, and bravely set upon his shoulders this cross that is his own and not that of another. His own cross, the one that my wisdom designed for him in every detail of number, weight, and measurement. His own cross, whose four dimensions, its length, breadth, thickness, and height, I very accurately gauged with my own hands. His own cross, which all out of love for him, I carved from a section of the very cross I bore on Calvary." Oh, golly, I love that. "His cross, the grandest of all the gifts I have for my chosen ones on earth." Oh, "His cross, made up in its thickness of temporal loss, humiliation, disdain, sorrow, illness, and spiritual trial, which my providence will not fail to supply him with every day of his life. His cross, made up in its length of a definite period of days or months when he will have to bear with slander or be helplessly stretched out on a bed of pain or forced to beg or else a prey to temptation, dryness, desolation, and many another mental anguish. His cross, made up in its breadth of hard and bitter situations stirred up for him by his relatives, friends, or servants. His cross, finally made up in its depth of secret sufferings, which I will have him endure, nor will I allow him any comfort from created beings, for by my order they will turn from him too, and even join me in making him suffer." And then he says this, "Let him carry it and not drag it, not shoulder it off, not lighten it nor hide it. Let him hold it high in hand without impatience or peevishness, without voluntary complaint or grumbling, without dividing or softening, without shame or human respect." He goes on, "The cross, it is the cross he must carry, for there is nothing more necessary, more useful, more agreeable, and more glorious than suffering for Jesus Christ." And he goes on and talks more in this beautiful book about what glory comes by way of the cross, what it is that we realize as a result of it. And you named it, Tara. You named one of the fruits of suffering well. And you said, you can't believe what the Lord has done for you and the joy that was there for you in the midst of this suffering. May God be praised for the work that he's worked in you and the work that he wants to work in all of us.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. That's beautiful written.
Isn't it? Well, it's written by a great saint, my spiritual father, St. Louis de Montfort. Well, God bless you, Tara, and thank you for sharing your good news with us and allowing us to talk a little bit about the glory that comes by way of the cross if we embrace it and carry it well. And know this, my friends, there is joy in carrying that cross. There is joy in carrying that cross, and our sister testified to that today. We don't need to go looking for the cross. The cross is going to visit all of us. We live in a broken and fallen world, but God wants to work wonders through that cross. So keep the eye of your soul wide open to see those blessings that come through that portion of his very cross, spoken to us by St. Louis de Montfort, that very portion of his cross, which he's entrusted to us. It is not without blessing. It is replete with graces. It is replete with the divine life. It is replete with glory. Off to Beverly here. She is in South Halo, Mississippi. EWTN app is the way she's with us. Good morning, Beverly. How are you?
I'm fine. The name of my town is called South Tillo. You know, like you're tilling the garden.
Oh, okay. Tilo, okay, very good. I see it now. It said something a little different. And I thought, what a lovely name for a city, South Halo. I hope everybody there has one. So how are you doing, Beverly?
Well, mostly I'm confused and I don't know which way to go, what to do.
Okay.
I came into the church. Well, I was raised Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. And then we always had a problem with how the First Baptist Church always spent so much money on its building, on mm-hmm. its grandeur, you know, and the important people in town had solos, and we just had a problem with it. Always did, but my father, I don't know that if he was a religious man or not. I know he chose the churches we would go to as to the important people in town. Where did they go?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
I do believe that he believed in God, but when my mother asked him one time, do you believe in the Bible? Because we believe that what the Bible says is true.
Yes.
It is truth.
Yes.
And he says, well, I don't know, but it's all a good story. And so, you know, he has passed. He has died. And I have concerns for him. But actually, he's not my biggest concern.
So what is your biggest concern?
My biggest concern is that then my mother started going to the Church of Christ after I grew up and had a child. And I moved back into the town they were in, and Daddy wasn't going to church. Mm-hmm. So I would go with my mother to the Church of Christ. And apparently it was a liberal Church of Christ, because I've had other people tell me about their Churches of Christ, and I'm going, whoa, we ain't doing nothing like that.
So what brought you into the Catholic Church, Beverly? What brought you into the Catholic Church?
Well, I read three books put out by a man. I think he had a co-author. I'm not sure. I'm thinking his name was McKenzie. They were fiction. And they're put out by one of the Catholic organizations. And it has to do with three fictional books about what happens at the end of time.
Okay.
What happens to the people as things are occurring, as life is going into that horrible period. And anyway, I would read them, and then I would read them again, and then I would read them again. And my problem is, I've always said that it was, I wasn't self-directed and had the perseverance. Now, I've always had a good spirituality.
Uh-huh.
You know, I took master classes in the Baptist church, and
right.
I've always had a strong belief that is with me.
Right. Now, but what is your question or concern related to all of this at this point in time?
I joined the Catholic Church about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
My RC, whatever it is,
RCIA.
Was very brief and just skimmed over things.
Okay.
And when I listen to EWTN, I hear things like the sacraments and I hear other terms that I'm not real sure, Paschal season. I'm not real sure what they're talking about.
Sure.
You know, I still have problems praying to the saints or praying to Mary. And I need guidance, but my local Catholic church where I'm at now, I have called seeing if someone in the church could come and pick me up for Mass. I've had my shots, you know. I walk a mile every day with a walker, with a rolling walker.
Wonderful.
You know, my problem is not that I don't have strength. I've got strength. I have severe balance issues.
Yeah.
But anyway, I walk a mile every day. I can get up. I have memory issues. I have severe vision issues.
Yeah. Well, but let me just interject here, Beverly, because I think I get the gist of what it is that you're expressing. And it breaks my heart that you've called your local parish and you're not getting the help that you need or the assistance that you need. And that doesn't necessarily speak very well of the staff there. But this is what I would suggest to you. If there are other Catholic parishes in the area, I might want to check out one of those other parishes and see if they've got an outreach program for those individuals who basically are in your same situation, who are homebound, or they're homebound because they simply don't have transportation to Mass. The other thing that I think is important for you to do is to get a catechism of the Catholic Church. It's unfortunate that your RCIA program was such a short-lived experience, because typically they take some time. They take months, really, for a person to go through, and be educated in the faith so that they can make an appropriate decision as to whether or not they want to come into the church. And it sounds as though your experience was something other than that. But all is not lost. I do believe that our Lord brought you into the church because he opened that door for you and you said yes. Now, we all have a responsibility and a duty to continue our education in the faith. I mentioned that earlier in our program. We all have a duty and a responsibility to that. And we have the means by which we can gain that wisdom and insight, and it's through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you're someone who has online access, you can look it up online, and you will be able to find there, an index that will help for you to be able to isolate certain things that you feel that you need more knowledge about. You mentioned one of them, and that's the sacraments. You can even go to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, and I believe that they've got the catechism there online. But you can also purchase one, and I think that that's the better option because it'll be easier for you to use, and you'll be able to just go through the index and select the topics that you think you need to know more about. You mentioned another one. You need to know more about Our Blessed Mother. You need to know more about the communion of saints and why it is that we pray for the saints' intercession. And all of that is contained in there. And so you need not worry that there isn't help and assistance for you, but it might be help and assistance that you have to apply yourself until such time as you can find a parish that is going to meet your needs a little bit better. The other thing I would recommend is once you find that place, that you join, you know, some kind of a study group there, or that you join a circle of women who know their faith very well and will basically take you under their wing to express it to you. One of the very good things that you're doing already is that you're learning more about the faith by listening to EWTN radio. And this is a marvelous source. There's lots of people who communicate with us that they've come into the faith because of what they've heard. And we've got lots of programs that are available. Obviously, Women of Grace, the one that you're listening to today. But we also have programs that are more oriented towards answering questions about the faith. I think of Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. I'm thinking about the programs that are featured on Open Line, the priests that populate Open Line, different priests every day. And Father Mitch Pacwa talks about scripture, and Father Wade Menezes talks about, you know, our life of faith and answers questions that have to do with that, as does Father Brian Milady. You know, Colin Donovan is vice president of theology here for the network, and he's on Fridays. You can listen to him tomorrow. And these people are all very, very willing. Father Trigilio on Mondays, very, very willing to share their knowledge, to share their expertise with you. So you're doing a very good thing. Just listening, Beverly, not even calling in, but just listening will help for you to gain the knowledge that you need. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tuck you into my rosary today. Today is Thursday. We pray the Luminous Mysteries. And there is that beautiful third Luminous Mystery that has to do with the proclamation of the gospel and repentance. And I'm going to pray that God brings to you someone who can educate you in the faith, and that all of the resources that I've mentioned to you that are readily available will aid you in your deeper growth in the faith that you have accepted our Catholic Church. Beverly, thank you for your call today, darling, and God bless you. And thank you for walking that mile. It's strengthening your body. Now we want to do something to strengthen your soul as well, right? And that's the study that I've mentioned. God bless you, Beverly. And now we're going to move on to Mary. She is in Urbana, Illinois. Holy Family Radio is the way that she's listening to us. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning, Janet. You are a spiritual vitamin. God bless you.
May God be praised. I need my own spiritual vitamins, too.
No, I love listening to you. And just today, I just felt, oh, my goodness, she is on fire. So I have a little bit of a question for you that was really addressed by your wonderful screener. I think I spoke with Ryan, and he gave me some very sound advice, but then he insisted that you would have more for me. I have these wonderful neighbors behind me. They are almost like my children. I'm in my 60s. They're in their early 40s, and their children are like my grandchildren. Here's the issue. I prayed for them to move in. I did. I just prayed for friends for my autistic son, and this beautiful family moved in. And to make a long story short about our relationship, we even cut the fence and put a gate. Isn't that a wonderful theological image?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah, so the kids could go back and forth. All right, so now here we are, maybe 6 years later. I know their children. I love them to pieces. They are very worldly, very, very intelligent people, beautiful people, too, and their kids as well. And we are deeply Catholic. And my husband has said, be careful, you know. Oh, well, here it is 6 years later. And I know, Janet, I pray for them every day. Every good
we just
thing
have two minutes,
God.
Mary, just 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay. These people are, yeah. How would you recommend my trying to get that conversation in there where they will listen and begin to maybe consider God in their life?
Well,
very
if
smart
you
people.
Yeah, okay. I would say two things. Number one, you're already doing that by the witness of your own life. And if they come into your home and your home, you know, is demonstrating your Catholic faith through, you know, beautiful religious art and pictures and crucifixes and things of this nature, you're already speaking the gospel message to them. But it is important also to if you will, kind of gird up our witness with words when it's appropriate. appropriate. Now, I would, and I'm sure that you're praying for them. I'm sure that you're doing that. And I would pray to Our Lady Undoer of Knots. You know, that's one of my go-to novenas that I offer people to pray. And I would pray that, and I would wait for them, you know, to ask a question about the faith or to come to you with a problem. And then, you know, this I think is the best way to evangelize. And when they do that, ask if you could pray with them. Not, oh, I'll pray for you, but may I pray with you right now? And you might even say, you know, I'm a person of strong faith. Let me pray with you right now. Let's just see if in coming together, you know, the Lord doesn't give us some insight into what you're facing right at this moment. I would ask that, you know, and then I would move forward. And that's a beautiful way in which you can broach the faith with them without seeming as though you are trying to all in an instance convert them. And it's got, you know, there's that little poem from Carl Sandburg that talks about, you know, the fog creeps in on little cat's feet, meaning that it's kind of silent. And this is that kind of an evangelistic effort. You know, you're presenting the faith in a very soft, gentle way. And they're being imbued with the presence of the Lord, even without realizing it. So that's what I would think that might be a good way for you. And when you have your opportunities to come together for a meal, you know, tell them we always pray a blessing and pray that blessing. Those are beautiful, unthreatening, non-threatening ways in which you can begin to open up that door for them, Mary. And I hope that's helped you. And we're going to have to go because we're right to the end of the show. God bless you. Bye-bye.